cooperation has been thrown out the window when it comes to the budget. But we're going to be talking about a budget for weeks to come. So that's nothing new. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The name of this show, Coast to Coast and all those places in between, all the nooks and crannies. And my favorite, those flyover states. I've lived in so many of you. Great people out there across this wonderful land. That's the good news. The bad news is we are going to hell in a handbasket, and that is not fear-mongering. It's insane what's happening and reverberating out of Washington. Lucky for all of you, each and every show, we always go inside the Beltway. I hope you have a chance to catch that. We're going to start posting that on AmericaTonight.net. Right from the start, though, a couple of things. Besides, you know, the push-pull over the budget, the fallout over Egypt, meaning what comes next, but that's kind of old news at this point, and I think the U.S. needs to stay out of it, frankly. Then you have the situation in Iran where they're talking about executing the protest leaders, and the protest leaders are the guys who were going to run for the office that Ahmadinejad holds. And they want to execute him. Of course they do. Because people are protesting again. Mixed in between all of that, the heckling moment of the day, if you will, came at the expense of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who was interrupted by a protester. Take a listen to what it sounded like on Tuesday.
Pictures and videos from Egypt flooded the web. On Facebook and Twitter, journalists posted on-the-spot reports. Protesters coordinated their next moves. And citizens of all stripes shared their hopes and fears about this pivotal moment in the history of their country. Millions worldwide answered in real time, "You are not alone, and we are with you." Then the government pulled the plug. Cell phone service was cut off, TV satellite signals were jammed, and internet access was blocked for nearly the entire country.
So this is America.
The government
this
did
is
not
America.
Want the
Who are
people
you?
To communicate with each other. And it did it's not want the press to communicate with the public.
Where do you think they led him off to? And she just didn't miss a beat either. She's a pro. She's used to being heckled. One time I was at Belmont Racetrack for the Belmont, the third leg of the Triple Crown, and the Clintons were there. They were introduced. They were actually down on the track. They weren't too far away from where I was sitting. And boy, half of the crowd started heckling them. Half were applauding and half were heckling them. And they just kept talking, just smiling, talking to Bob Costas was interviewing him. It was like no big deal. We're used to this. We're used to being heckled. Well, from being heckled to being given the Medal of Freedom on the list, because you know I'm a big sports fan, there were a couple of familiar names from the sports world. Stan Musial was on the list, and also Stan the Man, and Bill Russell. Remember Bill Russell back in the day? If you go back and you look up Bill Russell's records, some of them, 6'9", Russell. Some of them may never be broken, including the fact that he was the winner of 11 NBA championships in 13 seasons with the Celts. Yep. So take a listen to what that sounded like.
Stan Musial made that brilliance burn for 2 decades. Stan matched his hustle with humility. Bill Russell, the man, is someone who stood up for the rights and dignity of all men. He marched with King.
Yes, he did. And, you know, he didn't, once he got out of basketball, he didn't do too many interviews. He's done a few lately, some rather good ones, actually, in talking to, I think, HBO Real Sports and some others. By the way, there were a few other people that got the award, too, including Bush won, the nation's 41st president, Herbert Walker, and he got it for public service career. 70 years, Navy pilot, ambassador, CIA, VP, president. You know, the list is long, and not alone. Other people who got the medal, somebody said to me, it's such a boring ceremony. But other people who got the medal, Warren Buffett and a Holocaust survivor, Gerda Weissman Klein, a humanitarian activist, Tom Little, who was killed in Afghanistan, and there were some others, too, that made it. But you had the former president, and I think the two sports heroes as well, and I thought the sports angle was kind of interesting. All right, speaking of sports, neither one of those two guys, Stan was a baseball player, and, of course, Bill Russell, basketball, as I just mentioned. But the NFL, which so many of you miss now that we're going into another week with no Sunday football, the NFL could be shut down. Can you imagine? I think we're going to have a labor strike here. I think we're going to have a work stoppage in the NFL. March 4th is D-Day for that. Ironically, it's also D-Day for the extension of the budget freezes and where we are in the budget this year in the United States. So, no budget, a government lockdown, and a walkout in the NFL. March 4th is shaping up to be an ugly day, isn't it? Here's what the great Peter King had to say about the possibility of an NFL labor stoppage.
There are some owners in this league who would rather get the economic system right and not have a football season in 2011 than to accept a system that's only marginally better than the one they had this year.
Wow. He's got pretty good contacts, and I have to think if there are enough owners that are willing to do it, maybe it does become a reality and the players do not want to play 18 games and they're willing to dig their heels in the sand, then, you know, maybe it happens. Roger Goodell, the commissioner, is saying they got to do something now. They have to speed this up. You got to get into the act. This has to happen, because if it's not accelerated, then we will definitely have the NFL on ice, as it were. So NFL owners, they're trying to get them to promise not to lock out players, even if a new collective bargaining agreement isn't reached by the time the current one expires, which would be the end of the day, technically March 3rd. So will they do it? Because the players are saying that they will not do the 18-game thing, but they also know that a lockout isn't in the financial interest of anyone involved. Ooh, fantasy football. What will we do instead? No fantasy football to pay attention to. We'd have to come up with another sport. How about Frisbee? Ultimate Frisbee. Nah. I can't go there with Ultimate Frisbee. How about rugby? How about soccer? You know, the push for soccer, so many people disappointed in the world of soccer that it hasn't still really caught on enough in the U.S. Could this be their opening? We're kicking the can down the road here on ATN. Stay with us.
The five main steps to great health are detoxification, an alkaline pH, elimination of infections, optimal hormone levels, and renutrification. When all these factors are brought into play, then your body is supported to create radiant health. Of all the nutrients needed by the body, protein plays a dominant role. The type, quality, and digestibility of that protein plays a key role in how good you feel on a day-to-day basis. Of all the proteins that nature offers, one is the most digestible and offers the most benefits for the most people. It is unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. It is easily digested and comes in three delicious flavors. Whether you want better energy, better blood sugar, more endurance, or clearer thinking, One World Whey is a must for you to try. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
In this stuff with the budget, I'm almost tired. I am like budget weary. I'm sick of talking about it. I am, except for that it matters to every single one of us. Because, you know, I'm about smaller government, sure, but I'm not about no government, and there are things that I have to go through the government for, you know. So I'm beholden now because of all the Social Security money that I've paid in. I actually went back and looked at it, and I have paid Social Security in some form. Some years, not as fruitful as others, but it doesn't matter. I've paid Social Security since I've been 16 years old. So give me the check now. Give me the check. And I will trust myself to invest it. Just give us our money back, because when you're threatening that you don't think you're going to have to really slash Social Security, boy, that's not a good feeling. And then saying that with just some modifications, what are those modifications? Taking more out of checks? I don't know. We could raise the gasoline tax from 18 cents to a dollar. Yeah, you want to see people go berserk. That's one option that won't work. I guarantee it. I mean, it's crazy. It's this whole idea that we cannot come up with a balanced budget, that we've gotten to this position in the first place, is just, to me, stupid. Like, we just keep throwing money down the rat hole. And I know I've made this analogy before, and I know somebody could call me up and say, oh, yeah, but, you know, you've got these programs and these, so, you know, the cost of living, and then we went through these economic hard times. I mean, there's a million excuses. The bottom line is, when you go spending crazy and you can't make it up fast enough, that's a bad deal. The way it should have been run is, sometimes you have to play a little catch-up, but we're playing too much catch-up. So the government is going to have to jack up its revenue. They're going to have to do that. So how are they going to jack up the revenue? I mean, get ready for the onslaught. That's what I say. Don't the Democrats understand what's going on? Don't they know what happened in November? Because people were so frustrated. You know, it goes back to the same thing. I don't think all politicians are disconnected. I just think about 85% of them are. And they need to know what it's like not to have the do-re-mi, to be in the everyday neighborhoods and see what people are going through. That's where there's something lost in this. So the $61 billion, to me, the $61 billion, the overlap of the bureaucracy of the government, I really believe we could get at least close to that number. I would love for someone to hire me. Somebody to hire me to go in with a team of people. We wouldn't even charge very much. I mean, we'd have to make something because it would take some manpower. But we wouldn't charge very much because we don't want to add on to that debt. And let me do the audit. Let's go through the programs and let's find where the fat is, the overlapping, in other words, where you have two or sometimes three people doing the same job. I'm not saying you're getting rid of people who are doing different jobs and you're just trying to pour on all the responsibility on one person instead of three. I'm saying I'm not kidding you. I have very good sources who have told me that there is so much overlap. It's ridiculous. Specifically, two who work for the IRS that could not believe the overlap. People who work for the IRS, one for 25 years, one for 40. One for 40. So what are we cutting? What are we cutting? Medicare? Military spending, welfare, I don't know. You know, let's spin the wheel of fortune. At this point, the right thing would be to go back and to look at the duplication of the government employees in certain positions where I know for a fact there's too much overlap. Yeah, maybe you don't get to $61 billion, but I bet you get pretty darn close. The audit probably would be worth it, except for that they don't want that. I don't care where it is, who's running what branch of what. They don't want that audit because they don't want to lose the jobs. They don't want to have the people that they've gotten in and who have moved up in the various pay grades. There's a protection of the turf there in some cases. So you may have other ideas about what should be cut out. There was a congressman from Texas, who won the straw poll at CPAC, Ron Paul, who said, okay, let's just cut out foreign aid. If we're so screwed and we cannot balance a budget, and we are drowning with this deficit, then we don't have the money to give. So sorry. We cannot help you. We don't have the money. So at least temporarily, we're going to have to halt giving it out. We don't have it. Let's just rely on wealthy people in the country to write the checks. Let them come to the aid of people who sadly have awful things happen, like hurricanes and earthquakes and, you know, whatever it might be. Let's rely on the 2% who have serious, serious money to lift up other people and get maybe everybody in their corporations to donate a little bit. And if we did that, wouldn't that be enough? Couldn't we make up some of the money that way? I mean, there's a suggestion. That already happens. In some cases, there are charities where I can't think of the one off the top of my head, but where the employees are encouraged to give money. I mean, just even a couple of bucks out of their paycheck. Oh, what is it? I can't think of it. I'll think of it. And you probably, somebody out there listening to me, you've been asked to do it. It's usually around, you know, the holidays, Christmas time, and usually they take out 15 bucks out of people's checks or something. And then that way all the all of the people in the corporation in all the divisions end up giving money to whatever it is. All right, let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan, where are we getting the $61 billion? I think we can find it. I agree with the Republicans. Come on.
Yeah, baby. Okay, Madam President, here we go. We got a man by the name of Stephen King, who's a congressman from Ohio, and he put forward wants to put forth an amendment to defund $105 billion that Obama wants to spend to hire IRS agents, the number 16,000, to ride herd on us and reach into our wallets. Now, we're having a procedure problem with some congressmen up there that are part of the old guard that will not do his bidding. They want to run things according to Hoyle like they have in the past. Well, you can be the good guys and lose, or you can play the way the Democrats do with hardball and give them right back what they gave us with that Nancy Pelosi $105 billion in our budget from last year's Congress, which is illegal, and do away with her little program and eliminate $105 billion right now.
Do away with it. Do away with the money. I agree with the IRS agents that they're talking about that would do the audits. That's what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have a real good joke for you tomorrow night, but I don't have time right now. I love you. I need my picture. I'll talk to you later.
Dan, I'm going to hold you to the joke. I'm going to hold you to it. Okay, so we've got some people that are also chiming in on this, including Celestial, who says from the chat, would it be any different if the Republicans were in? I don't think so. No money in the kitty. No money in the kitty. There's no money in the kitty because they're spending too much of the money. That's the deal. And so this is the problem. The problem is we didn't need to go this far down the path in the first place. We could have reeled it in. And even if there was a little bit of a deficit, it could have easily been taken care of, but we went so far off the deep end. And now it's like we're trying to swim backwards. It's ridiculous. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk to our movie man, Stephen Shohet. Mel Gibson, famous actor, director, dies. We'll talk to him about that and other things.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy. From AffinityCEnergy.com, sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals. And that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting C-Energy. C-Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-cytosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
That I'm clear on what I'm telling everybody. Before I went to break, I think I said something about Mel Gibson. The actor who played some very big characters in two of Mel Brooks's hit movies, Kenneth Mars, died over the weekend in California. He was 75. He had pancreatic cancer. Was just such a killer. What I remember him from, though, I started to think about this, is the voiceover stuff he did. He was on that one show, what was it called? Darkwing Duck. Anyone remember that? And he had some, in the Brooks stuff, he had some very memorable lines. And see if you can remember the characters. One was from the producers, and this, you have to go back, and he portrayed the Nazi playwright in the original film, The Producers. And then he was also in Young Frankenstein as a police inspector. You may remember that if you've gone back and looked at this. And again, Kenneth Mars. So joining us right from the get-go, talking about this and some other things like Pixar. I'm excited about talking about Pixar because I just watched a documentary on it that was on Pixar and the creation of Pixar that was on CNBC. Stephen Shohat from Hollywood Stories, that's his book that is probably, I hope, on some of your shelves of the people listening out there. But, Stephen, thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me, Kate.
So do you remember Kenneth Mars? Do you remember the characters in the Brooks movies?
Yeah, absolutely, especially in Young Frankenstein. I have to be honest, I wasn't a big fan of The Producers, but Young Frankenstein was a movie that killed me, so I guess to each their own. But, I mean, obviously he was great. And also, I believe he was in What's Up, Doc, too, which was a Peter Bogdanovich movie. And he sort of took on Ryan O'Neal in that movie. So, everybody said what a sweet guy he was. He didn't always play that on the screen, but I guess that that shows the talent.
Yeah, no kidding. He was in Fletch. I remember he was in Fletch, too, if you think back on that movie.
Yeah,
remember Goldie Hawn? I think Goldie Hawn was in it, and Chevy Chase, I think, was in it.
Yeah, was Goldie Hawn in Fletch? I thought she was in that other one. That other one that I don't think it was Fletch, but
wasn't Fletch. It was,
I can't remember which one it was. It was that romantic comedy she did with Chevy Chase, where she was being chased around by those two guys. And,
yes.
I'll get it.
I know. I hate that. I hate that when I can't remember it. So I guess she wasn't Fletch, but Chevy Chase certainly was. And people listening would, if you don't know who Kenneth Mars is, you would know his face if you saw, this is radio, but if you saw a picture of Kenneth Mars, you would certainly know who he is. And I was talking about just before you came on the fact that that he died.
Foul play.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. That would have bugged me. I actually kind of like that movie. I don't know why. The chemistry between the two of them was good.
Yeah. I thought that was a fun movie.
Yeah, no kidding. Pixar. Yeah. Let's talk about Pixar. So big. Toy Story 3 has actually a crack at the best pictures, or really a chance that they could win.
You know, I guess there's a shot. I mean, I think it's against the odds, but they're the most successful company ever as far as putting out quality movies and never having a flop. I mean, you think Toy Story 1 was only 15 years ago, 1995, and the thoughts before Toy Story 1, would people sit for a completely computer-generated movie? I mean, it was coming right after The Lion King. I mean, everybody was used to two-dimensional, but not three-dimensional. I mean, they had to, the main guy at Pixar, there's a lot of people, but the main guy is John Lasseter, who's probably the closest thing to Walt Disney today, as far as his working style, where he's the head of the company, but he takes input from everybody. The best idea wins. You try and suppress the egos as much as possible. I mean, at one point, the Disney brass were so concerned about the original Toy Story, they thought Woody was such an unlikable character that they were sending John Lasseter to screenwriting classes so he could get things straightened out. But the thing that was established, and I don't know if it has to be this way, but it seems like that they sort of established this thing where two-dimensional animation, like movies like, say, the Beauty and the Beast or the Little Mermaid, would be sort of like Broadway musicals and love stories, where Pixar came in and said, we don't really want to do that. We want to make buddy movies. Movies like Midnight Run, where these two, this odd couple of guys, is stuck in this situation, and they sort of have to team up to make the situation better, and that's what they got going right away with Toy Story, and they've never had a flop. And they've been able to do things, again, sort of like Walt Disney. Like, I remember we talked on an earlier show about how Walt Disney would put personal things in his life into Mickey Mouse cartoons. Well, it's the same with Pixar. I mean, with Toy Story 3, for example, that came about because John Lasseter dropped his daughter off at college at Loyola Marymount University out here. And he had a great sense of loss, and he started discussing it with the other people at Pixar. What if Andy, the character who owns the toys, grows up and needs to get rid of the toys? What happens then? And that formed the whole basis for the story. The one thing about them that's different from other companies too is they're not a prolific company. I think they've only made 10 movies in 15 years. They're of all the filmmakers, they're the ones that seem to be the most focused on stories. And part of that was being under the protection of the Walt Disney Company, Disney providing them the time where they could get the story absolutely the way they wanted it, which a lot of filmmakers don't have because there are deadlines and you have to get the thing out there. And sometimes you need time for creativity, and it's been that way in Pixar's case.
Yeah, especially with animation. So you think, well, animation, these things happen, but when you go behind the scenes and Stephen, when you look at what goes into it, it's not lickety-split. Okay, we throw up our storyboards, flop something out there, the kids will go see it, give us the beginning, the middle, and the end. I think you've hit on it. That's the difference with the Pixar movies. It's amazing that they haven't had a flop. I mean, that's incredible. In 15 years, no flops.
Yeah, and I am kind of old-fashioned, being an old Disney fan. I generally would prefer watching two-dimensional traditional animation to three-dimensional. I think with the computers, I think that hand-drawn is more amazing to me. But right. I think I'm in the minority. I really do. I think people, the movie Spirit, which was an animated film, came out for DreamWorks. And nobody watched it. And at the same time, Finding Nemo came out, and everybody watched that.
Right.
I think there's just people are acclimated to the 3D now, and I guess Pixar is a big reason for that. The interesting thing about that is that John Lasseter, who has been in charge of all these wonderful movies, totally poo-poos that and says, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all about storytelling. It doesn't matter 2D, 3D, but I think it does matter to audiences at this point.
Oh, yeah, for the younger audience. They're so used to that. I mean, now they're selling the glasses are designer glasses. You don't have to get the throwaway glasses when you go to the 3D movies.
Right. Absolutely. So
yeah,
crazy. You could do traditional animation in 3D too. I mean, Lady and the Tramp was done that way back in 1955. But I don't know. I think people are more impressed by the computer animation. A point of interest. Toy Story took like 100 people to make. The Lion King took 800 people to make. So when you have a hand-drawn movie, it's going to take way more people. But I think people are more impressed by the 3D, which is different for me. But I love Pixar's movies.
I agree with you, absolutely. Hey, I wanted to bring this up because we know where reality TV is going. Look at the Jersey Shore kids, how they've become big stars and are making crazy money. But you also have the reality stars that are people who were stars in their own right in the 80s or whatever, the 90s, maybe even doing television shows. Roseanne Barr now joins the list. She's going to do a reality show. So is it because these stars need the money and they think that this is a new vehicle for them? Or why are they doing reality shows? Why is Roseanne Barr doing a reality show?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You don't have to get up and go to work. I mean, they're going to come to her. You go back to I Love Lucy, and Lucille Ball made that show in L.A. instead of going to New York, where they traditionally made TV shows. She wanted to stay home. She thought it would lead to a better domestic life. And here's Roseanne Barr with her macadamia nut farm. She's going to be able to publicize the heck out of her macadamia nuts and get paid for it at the same time. And if the reality show's a big hit, you know, like you said, I mean, they can make huge money. I mean, like Lauren Conrad was making millions off that show. Mm. The interesting thing about reality shows is, will they ever be unionized? Because, it drives some people in Hollywood crazy. They think the producers are skirting the unions. But a lot of people who work in reality shows don't mind the long hours because they have a chance to get promoted to executive producer pretty quickly if they can successfully do it. Anyway, it's interesting. But anyway,
HollywoodStories.com. It is interesting to see the phenomenon of the reality shows and where they started and how far they've come. So HollywoodStories.com, as he just said, Stephen Shohet. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kate.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with Extendivite.
But before we get to the Daily Salute, I brought this up on a previous show, the fact that how crazy is it you have Jeopardy, you have two former champs playing a machine, a machine created by IBM. So it's man versus the machine, baby. And who's winning? It's a 3-day little tournament. The first day, a tie, man and the machine. Second day, the machine pulls ahead. Now, I saw a little bit of the first day. I didn't catch the second day. Our Matt Johnson happened to be watching it, and I think he went back and watched the first day, too. What do you think so far of this computer? It's crazy to watch it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really interesting, the fact, just the whole process of how it all happens with it having to understand kind of the English language and computing and coming up with the answers for it, and then actually it getting ringing in the buzzer and everything. It's a really fascinating process. But then watching it, you see kind of how discouraged some of these the former champions, Ken Jennings and the Brad guy, I can't remember his last name, and because they know the answer, but they just can't compute it fast enough to hit the buzzer before the computer can. But then on the other hand, there's sometimes where the computer just, it doesn't know the answer, and it gives these weird answers. Like the final Jeopardy today was one where it just didn't have a clue for it. And so it's kind of kinks in the armor a little bit.
Yeah, and it's very strange to see. You have the two guys, so in between them is the computer, and it's just very odd. And the computer is named Watson, by the way. I know I've told you that before. But second day went to the computer. And overall, even with the kinks, the machine was pretty dominant. And the idea is it's got 2800, they call it. This has processing power of 2800 powerful computers, pretty much, chirping out the answers. it has to be strange for the two other guys that are there standing there while the IBM machine goes off. The winner of the three-day competition, by the way, wins $1 million. So there was some incentive here. Second place will get about $300,000. The third place person will get $200,000. IBM is going to donate whatever Watson does to charity. So if the machine wins the $1 million, then the company donates that money. So that's a good thing.
And it's also really just interesting because the reason this is lasting 3 days because they're doing two games and then it's spread out over 3 days, and in between,
right,
kind of some of the competition, they give you the background of the computer and other things that they,
yeah,
they went back to the IBM, the chess match with Kasparaitis or whatever his name was, I can't remember, and it just shows you like the level and how they're just stepping it up to a whole nother level as far as like computers go, where understanding and problem solving just English language and doing that, it's just, it brings to light like what the future could hold as far as just like talking to your car, talking to your cell phone, talking to your computer and having it figure out things with you, and like a medical doctor trying to figure out a diagnosis with the aid of a computer kind of talking back and forth to you. It's really a futuristic type of thing.
Yeah, I agree. Because what could this computer understand the question, process it, and then search the database and come back with a logical answer, which is what's going on with Jeopardy. So it's interesting to see, you know, it's like that crazy movie that Will Smith was in, I, Robot. Remember that whole thing? And this is, the robots there were nasty robots, but are these computers intelligent enough to do things like replace the human touch of a teacher in some of these classrooms? How far away is something like that? The computer, too, what the computer seems to be good at is buzzing in quickly. And Matt told me an interesting thing before we went on the air. He said, you know, what about the final question? And the computer messed up the final question. The final question, Jeopardy question, was, see how many of you know this, it was about which city has the largest airport named for a World War II hero and a second airport named for a World War II battle. The computer answered Toronto. And that was not the right answer. The answer was Chicago. So it messed that one up, but the computer still wins overall. And you could be seeing how this computer does, seeing how Watson does, you could be seeing some futuristic things, let's say. All right, here's the deal for the Daily Salute. I just love this. What would it be like? Imagine this. You keep talking about, well, if I just win the lottery, my life would be different, but you never buy tickets. And then finally one day, the lottery's so bloody high, you pull into the gas station, you plunk down a couple of dollars, you buy a lottery ticket, and you just toss it away. I mean, you toss it in a drawer somewhere, you don't even remember anymore, because you figure, well, I could get struck by lightning, I'm not going to really win this, and I just kind of forgot about it. I bought a couple of tickets, but didn't spend very much money. So there was this couple who claimed their lottery winnings on the very last day. It was a Mega Millions prize. They waited until the day before the deadline, because if they had waited any longer, I mean, they wouldn't be eligible. So check, boy, that's testing fate, isn't it? So Aaron and Raleigh Hill kept that a secret for 6 months. They hid the ticket in an envelope, a Bible, a shoebox. They were moving it all over the place. A work locker until they wanted to cash it in. They were very nervous. They drove to Raleigh. Do you love that? Raleigh, the name of the woman, and then they drive to Raleigh. They drive to Raleigh to claim the Mega Million prize that would have expired at 5 o'clock, but they got there in enough time. And it kind of brought an end to some of the frantic searches because they forgot where they had hid the the ticket, you know, glove compartment, covered wallets, all that stuff. So they get a lump sum of $340,000 after taxes. How about that? And all they did was they got the Mega Millions ticket at some little market in August of last year. And he hid the ticket, couldn't find it, but here's the scoop. You have 180 days to come forward. So 180 days. And they finally did it. Wow, that's a nice present. And, of course, they did the obligatory pose, held the check up and everything, but they made it just in the nick of time. So I think that is the daily salute because they made it in the nick of time. They lost the ticket originally, found it, and then started placing it all over the place. I say you give them a round of applause for getting there just in time. Woohoo! They made it. I don't know that I would wait that long. In fact, I know I wouldn't. I mean, I know they probably didn't want all the hoopla and everything, but I would be afraid because it's in the shoebox, it's in the closet, it's here, it's there. And originally they couldn't find it. They didn't even look at it in the beginning. And then when they figure out that they have it and they check it a zillion times, I don't think I would have taken that risk. Matt, would you have taken that risk? I wouldn't have. I as much as maybe I would want to keep it a secret or whatever, I don't know that I would trust myself to wait till the last day, not have something happen, and get to the lottery office in time.
Well, I've already told you before that I got a plan.
You would disappear.
So I wouldn't claim it on the first day I had either, but what I would do is you got to contact a lawyer, and you got to set up a trust and claim
yes.
the ticket in the trust's name. That way you
yep.
can never be found, and you won't be hounded by all these fanatics and lunatics who want to just take your money.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. I think that's some good advice, that the problem is your name gets out there and then everybody finds you. What's also interesting about winning the lottery, whatever amount it is, $1 million, $10 million, whatever, wherever they sell you that ticket, they get money for selling the ticket. So that little tiny market got $10,000. And then when it was announced that's where they bought the ticket, people were coming in from all over the place, I guess figuring it was like the magic lamp, and they were going to go in there and they were going to buy their tickets from that particular market. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.